And our Bible reading this morning is from John's Gospel, chapter 12, beginning verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about half a litre of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, O Christ. Now, Sheila's going to preach for us, so we'll just pray for you, Sheila, as you come. Lord, we do thank you so much for Sheila and her servant heart and for the gifts that you have given her. And we pray, Lord, that what she has prepared will have been inspired by you and will speak to us into each of our hearts today afresh, so that we'll learn something new about you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Good to see everybody here. What a great story that is, isn't it? I just like that story. There's just something very special about it. Jesus is again in Bethany. If you read chapter 11, the one before that, it tells of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. I'm sure you all remember that story. And these people, Lazarus and Mary and Martha, were Jesus' friends. I guess that when he was in Jerusalem or in that way, he stayed with them. It was quite likely, wasn't it? But he was on his way with his disciples to Jerusalem for the Passover celebrations. And again, if you read the previous chapter, you will see that the end is coming close for Jesus. He knows it. He knows what's going to happen to him in Jerusalem. The Jewish leaders were getting more and more concerned about him, and there was a plot beginning to form to have him killed. So even being there was a bit risky for him, wasn't it? It was actually a very brave thing, I think, for him to do, walking up to Jerusalem, knowing what they were thinking about him. So here we have Jesus in Bethany, and a meal was served in his honour. So people were there to see him, and such a lot had happened in Bethany, hadn't it, that people knew who he was and they wanted to be with him. And of course, Martha was serving at the meal, and Lazarus, it tells us, was reclining at the table with Jesus. It was definitely a man's world, wasn't it, there? The women were serving and the men were sitting. There was probably a fairly jovial atmosphere. It was probably a celebration. They were pleased to have Jesus there, so it was probably a happy time. And then an interruption. Mary came in with her very expensive perfume and started pouring it on Jesus' feet and wiping it with her hair. Goodness me. The room began to fill with the fragrance of the perfume. Has the fragrance reached you yet? Thank you, Daphne. Oh, we're going to get some over there too. But can you imagine the pause in this room? It's sort of everybody's looking around saying, "What's happening?" when I stop speaking. That would have been the pause when this happened. Mary came in and she started pouring perfume on Jesus' feet and wiping them with her hair. But then, into this pause, guess who spoke? It was Judas. "This is such a waste. The perfume could have been sold and the money given to the poor." We are told that he always wasn't honest about such things. But you know, Jesus managed to silence him and said, "Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You'll always have the poor with you, but you'll not always have me." Such a lovely story and an interesting story. I thought this morning we'd look at those characters that are very prominent in that story and just see what they're doing and what that has to say to us today. So let's look at Martha first, because Martha comes into the story right at the beginning. She was serving. We know about Martha from a previous story in Luke's Gospel. She's a practical woman. She serves, she makes food. You know, Martha loved Jesus, and the way she showed her love to him was to look after him, to serve him, to use her hands. You know, we all serve those we love, don't we? And she served Jesus in the way that she could. You see, we all have different gifts, but we can use every one of them to serve the Lord. Martha's gifts were practical gifts, and that was okay. She used them to serve Jesus. There's so many different gifts at work in our church, haven't we? We just have to remember how blessed we are for every single one of them. You know, if I was to sit at that machine there this morning and play it, you'd all run out, because I'm just so unmusical, it doesn't bear talking about. And I'm really glad somebody's going to give me a cup of coffee at the end of this. I'm delighted to come into a clean church, and so on. So, I could go through dozens of gifts, couldn't I, that are at use in the church. And we all serve because we love Jesus and we love each other in his name. So that was Martha's part. She served. Mary, let's look at her now, because her character was very, very different from Martha. You know, if you have children or brothers and sisters, you'll know, won't you, that every one of them's different from the other. Martha and Mary were different. You see, Mary loved Jesus just as Martha did, but she showed it in a very different way and a very extravagant way. Oh, that perfume's reaching my throat now, goodness me. The perfume will have been the most expensive thing that Mary owned, and she gave it all to Jesus. Nothing but the best was good enough. She gave the very best, most costly thing she had to Jesus. That always begs the question to us, are we giving Jesus our very best? Let's look at just what she did here. She acted in humility. If you were anointing someone in those days, you'd normally anoint their head. It was a sign that you were honouring him. But Mary didn't look that high. She humbled herself and anointed his feet. She didn't feel good enough to anoint his head. She also didn't care that what she was doing was just not done. To come into a room like that in the middle of a meal that men were sitting round the table, that wasn't done. And she came in with unbraided hair. Goodness me. To even go out in public with unbraided hair was wrong for women in those times. It was actually the sign of an immoral woman. She didn't care what others thought of her. She wanted to show her love and probably her gratitude to Jesus. You know, we don't know what Mary was like before this story, before she met Jesus, do we? We don't know what the lives of these people were like. But she had met Jesus, and she loved him, and she wanted to give him the very best. Those two women have so much to tell us. Martha gave Jesus all she could. Mary did the same. Jesus loved them, and they showed it by the way they lived their lives. Jesus loves each one of us completely as we are today. That was lovely in the first song to sing those words in it. Just as you are, come, because Jesus loves you just as you are this morning. Jesus, we know all about him, don't we? He was born, that tiny baby, he came down from heaven, made himself vulnerable because of his incredible love for us. He preached as he grew up. He healed. He showed us what the love of God really meant, how to live. And then, of course, he gave everything for us. He gave his very best for us. Because he went to Calvary for us. He died for us because of his love. And of course we know that he rose again, conquering sin, conquering evil, conquering death itself. For you and me, what love that is. So what does he want from us? Simply, he wants to know us. That's what he wants. He wants to know us. It says in the scriptures earlier on that what was the work that Jesus requires of us is simply to know him and believe in him and trust him. He wants to be part of our lives. He wants us to be part of his family. He wants our very selves. I remember reading once, it said, I can't remember where I read this, so I can't quote it, but it says, if he is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. That was really challenging words. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. I want him to have all of me. I really do want him to have all of me. I want to draw closer and closer to him and know him more and more. And I'm sure that's what we want to do because of that wonderful love he shows for us. But there is one more character there, isn't there, that we haven't looked at, and that is Judas. He strikes me here as somebody who's getting a little bit frustrated with the life that Jesus leads. He seems a bit bitter somehow. It wasn't what he was expecting of a Messiah. It wasn't what he was expecting of the Son of God. He had just watched a very touching scene, really, showing love. And he jumps in. This is wrong. It's a waste. It's not right. It's interesting how Jesus has treated Judas along the way. If we read John's Gospel, it's clear Jesus knew who he was. Yet he was in charge of the money. How did he get that job in charge of the money? Because he helped himself to it. Was Jesus perhaps giving him a chance to change? By giving him a job, was he looking for an honourable side in him? Well, we know that failed in the end. But you see, Jesus doesn't give up on anyone. He gives us every opportunity to respond to him. His answer here is gentle. You will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. Was that another chance for Judas to think, oh yes? Mary wanted to say something special to Jesus, and she took the opportunity. She saw the opportunity, and she took it because she loved. Taking opportunities is important. You see, Judas could have taken an opportunity there, but he didn't. But Mary did. You know, and sometimes opportunities come along for us, don't they? To help people or to share the love of Jesus with them. And it's so important that we take these opportunities. I know I've missed opportunities along the way. I'm sure we all have. And I always feel a bit bad after it because I think, oh gosh, what I should have said there, what I should have done there. I missed it. I continue to try never to waste an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with someone or to help someone. And I just pray that we're all able to do that all the time. And as we've looked at that lovely story this morning, it's short, but it can challenge us and say so much to us. The heart of it is showing love to Jesus by giving wholly of ourselves. He continues every day to give wholly to us and bless us abundantly. Amen. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for that amazing love that you show to us. Thank you for these stories of love being shown to you. And we pray, Lord, that we can open our hearts and our minds to you, that we can allow you to come closer. We can allow our lives to be just taken over by you, Jesus, because that's the way it is. That's how we know you more and more. So please come to us this morning by your Holy Spirit. Touch our lives and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.